At the prayer fellowship on Wednesday the 6th of February 1991, the visiting speaker was Mr. Alec Brooks from Minneapolis, USA.
It's really a great delight to be with you tonight, and I very much appreciate the invitation to share something of Bethany Fellowship's life and ministry. This isn't the first or second time that I've been in Bangor. As Pastor said, I was born and raised in Dumbarton, Scotland. My mother considered herself more Northern Irish than Scottish. I was raised somewhat under the Red Hand of Ulster. Visited Ireland a number of times as a boy due to her influence. And the last vacation I spent in Great Britain, I spent in Bangor, 1960. We traveled by ship on the way here, but British shipping, as British people sometimes want to do, they went on strike. And we had to fly home. But I was born in Dumbarton in 1940. And around that same time, God was working in the hearts of a number of men and women in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For those of you who are not acquainted with the map of the United States, Minneapolis, Minnesota is right in the middle of the country. The country is divided into east and west, really, by the Mississippi River. And the Mississippi flows all the way from the northern part of Minnesota all the way down through the country and exits at the Gulf of Mexico. And so Minnesota is right in the northern part, and that's where all the cold weather comes. When we speak in terms of below zero, we mean below freezing, we mean below zero Fahrenheit. And the day before Christmas, we had 24 degrees below zero. But I have to tell you that I'm never as cold as when I come to Britain in the wintertime. Somehow you manage to make cold colder than even Minnesota. But anyway, in the 1940s, the early 1940s, God was moving in the lives of a number of young couples and families who were part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Minnesota. There's a strong Lutheran heritage in that area because many of the people are either from Germany or from the Scandinavian countries. And these were couples who had come to faith in Christ but really had a burden on their hearts to somehow know Him in a better way and serve Him more effectively. And as they were seeking God about how they could do that, they began to meet together in their homes. And then out of those meetings in the homes, they began a little chapel called Bethany Chapel. They called it Bethany because they knew that Bethany was a place where Jesus loved to go. And so they wanted to have a place where Jesus would want to be with them. And as they were meeting together as a chapel, they had a great deal of contact with people like the pastor's father and like Norman Grubb and others who would come through and share God's word with them. And they really, out of that came two great desires that were born in their hearts. And one was to know Jesus in a deep and liberating way. Not only to know that they could be forgiven, but they could know freedom in Christ through identification with Christ and His death and resurrection. To know what it means that we've been crucified with Christ and yet, nevertheless, we live, and yet not we who live, but Christ lives in us. And that was a liberating message for them, to find that Jesus could set them free. The second burden that was put on their heart was to reach the world for Christ. They came out of a church that was not strong in its missionary emphasis, and yet there was born in their hearts a deep desire to be involved in missionary service. And basically what they did was they began to pray and seek God as to how they could most effectively serve Christ. And again, your pastor referred on Sunday to the verse in Haggai where God said that He was unhappy with His people because they lived in their homes, their well taken care of homes, and yet His house was being neglected. And He said that you spend much of your lives and really what you put is put in a bag with holes. And God spoke to them from those verses, and they realized that so much of their lives were bound up in earning and in spending and in taking care of that which they owned, taking care of their homes, taking care of their gardens, living their daily lives. And God moved upon their hearts to do something that was rather unusual, and that is to sell their homes and to purchase one large home and move together and live together in community. And that's what they did. They sold their homes. All of these were men. The husbands, the fathers were in business. They sold their homes and they moved together. And the pastor, Ted Hegry, who was the pastor of the little congregation, Bethany Chapel, was the leader of that work. I married his second daughter, who was my father-in-law. And he was the one who really had that vision from God, and these others moved with them. And their intent was to go to the mission field. But as they met together, as they moved together and lived together, and began to experience God's grace in living in community, in a large house near downtown Minneapolis, God began to show them that rather than going, they were to be a people living together to prepare others to go, and from which others would be sent and supported. Others began to join them to the point where the home was not big enough to contain all of them, so they eventually sold that large house, Bethany House as it was called, and they purchased way out in what was then the country, a 60-acre farm. And in 1948, they moved out to the farm, and that year began a school with 12 students. That was a 2-year program for the training of men and women to be missionaries. And a number of those who graduated from that went out with WEC International, number to Africa, became part of the ministry there. They began to manufacture things because they felt, again, that so much of their time was spent going to and from work, and so they had this vision of really manufacturing things right there. And they began making children's toys and doing other kinds of things, little stepping stools and sandboxes, and manufacturing and selling those to department stores in the area as a means not only of supporting the work and the school, but also of supporting those who would eventually go overseas. Also, part of the vision was to provide practical as well as academic and theological training for the students, because in talking to mission leaders, they realized that being a missionary entailed more than simply preaching and teaching. There were many practical kinds of things that had to be done. And so they began to develop a program in which the students coming in would be able to live with them, live among them, be taught by them, but also find practical experience on a hands-on program. And so classes in the morning, work in the afternoon, study in the evenings. And also the work that they did would help in the whole community's life together in such a way that the students would pay almost nothing when they came and they would be supported throughout their time there. And so the work began then in 1948, they moved out, began the school there, and that was how God began to develop it. A few years later, they began to make camp down folding trailers, or camping trailers that fold down. And God blessed that. It became one of the better trailers that was built of that kind in the United States. We had dealers throughout the country who would sell those for us. At the same time, we began printing. We began a print shop, really, to develop printing for the message, a little magazine that we call The Message of the Cross, presenting this message of identification with Christ and His death and resurrection and the burden of missions. And then we began to do one or two books as a result of that. And then we began to develop a publishing division, printing and publishing. And then in the early 70s, we began to phase out the camping trailer business, and we moved in really full-time into the publishing and into the printing. And some of you may be aware of Bethany House Publishers. Our books are distributed throughout the world. They're distributed in the United States, in the United Kingdom, and some of them have been are published by publishers in the United Kingdom. But Bethany House Publishers is the publishing ministry of Bethany Fellowship. And so today we would have some 180 students there studying with us in that program that's designed to train men and women to be missionaries. We have graduates who have served, like Wesley Lindsay, who is the WEC representative here in Ireland. He and his wife both trained at Bethany. And we have missionaries with other mission organizations throughout the world, as well as our own mission organization, which is represented in 13 countries. And last year we met together, the year before last, we met together called Mission Leaders Throughout the World, and we said, what do we want the mission to be like by the year 2000? We were simply trying to project for the next decade what God would have in mind for us. And as we began to meet together and pray together, we've sensed that God really put a burden on our hearts that He would do something that was way beyond anything we had expected. Back in 1943, when this little church came together, there were about 16 members in Bethany Missionary Church. And God gave them a vision of having someday 100 missionaries on the field who had been sent out by that little congregation and would be supported by it financially. And we achieved that goal a number of years ago. And then we were seeking God, what would be the goal for Bethany Fellowship Missions for these coming 10 years? And we sensed that God put upon our hearts to trust Him for 300 new churches to be planted through Bethany Fellowship Missions throughout the world, and 200 new missionaries to be sent out, and 10 unreached people groups. Now that's a way beyond which we know we can accomplish, and yet we felt very clearly that God had put it upon our hearts and laid it before us. And we accepted that, and we accepted that challenge from the Lord. And so Bethany Fellowship continues today, and that's its vision, that's what it was born out of, and God has used it to that end. And we thank God for His faithfulness and His goodness to us. And we would ask you to remember us in prayer that God will keep that vision clear, clearly before us, why He raised it up, to really see the gospel preached to the ends of the earth, to keep the message of the cross clear in our hearts and our minds of who we are in Christ and what God has done for us in Christ. And that vision that was born in those five families, and those families who began the work, in 1984, my father-in-law, who was really the founder, went to be with the Lord. He was in Singapore. He had just finished doing two seminars and was resting before going on to do more. My wife and I, Joni, his daughter, we were in the Philippines, and we were going to meet up very briefly. As they came into the Philippines, we were going to meet them on our way out when we received the news that he had suffered a heart attack and had gone to be with the Lord in Singapore. And really, in a sense, we rejoiced because he died with his boots on. That is, he died doing what he loved to do, and that was teach the message of the cross. He just finished teaching in a Youth of the Mission seminar and also one with the Church of Singapore. And he went to be with Jesus from that particular, after having done that. And I know that he was happy to do that. And then we had one of our other founding members, the wife of one of our members, who went to be with Jesus last year. And those are two. Otherwise, those founding members are still with us, still part of our fellowship, still have the same desire and zeal for what God gave them, that vision. Now, I share that with you, not only to tell you something about our work, but to realize again that these were but 10 people who would have looked at themselves and said were simply ordinary people to whom God spoke, and God gave a vision. And when God gives us a vision and brings something to birth, there is no limit to what God can do. And so I would simply lay that before you as a challenge to you as a congregation, that God, you might know what God might want to do through you. And there is no limit to the vision and the work that God can raise up from people whose hearts are committed to doing His will. So that was their desire. How can we serve God with all that we have in the most effective way? How can we give ourselves, they said, in all that we have as completely as possible to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ? And when God finds people who are willing not simply to give Him checks, but to give Him the checkbook and let Him write in, fill in the amounts, God will do great things. Because it's not the greatness of those who serve Him, but the greatness of the God whom we serve that makes the difference. And so I would lay that before you, not only as an encouragement for you to pray with us, that God will indeed continue to work in our lives. As I went there in 1960 to study. I had attended the WEC camps at Aberfoyle and then the month-end conferences and the prayer batteries on a Friday night, Dumbarton being only 14 miles from Glasgow. And then from there, God spoke to me, called me to go to Bethany in Minneapolis, and I trained there for 3 years. Joni was in the same class. As we came to the end of our time seeking God as to what we should do, we felt that God wanted us to be part of the work there in Minneapolis. And so we were. We joined the staff in 1963, and we were married in that same year. We have two children, both of whom are studying at Boston College in Boston, having graduated from our own missionary program, are now studying at Boston College in Boston, Massachusetts. And so we, again, thank God for His goodness. I was thinking tonight, just to share in closing, as this is a time of prayer, that really the difference between those who pray and those who don't is a difference in perspective. I was thinking of that story in 2 Kings chapter 6. You remember the story of Elisha, and when he was surrounded by the Syrian army, and the servant went out in the morning and saw the Syrian army, and he said, "Oh, master, what should we do? We're doomed." And Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes and let him see how things really are." And really, the effectiveness of prayer is the result of seeing how things really are. That we live, of course, in the midst of spiritual warfare. Elisha understood that. It wasn't the Syrian army he had to deal with. It was something beyond that. And it was a matter of perspective. And God wants to bring us into prayer with a perspective that sees beyond and behind all the problems. Just as David, when he went forward to meet Goliath, when the soldiers of Israel looked across, they saw Goliath. When David looked across the valley, he saw Goliath too. But behind Goliath, he saw God. And of course, you see, when you see God, everything's brought into proper perspective. When we lose sight of God, then things get out of perspective. And men and women of prayer are men and women who see things and keep things in perspective, because they recognize that behind everything, there stands God. And their heart is committed to the purposes of God. And to bringing God's presence into the situation. That's why you read there again, Elisha prayed. And he prayed a number of times. He prayed that eyes would be open, the eyes of his servant, that he might see things as they really are. And that's one of the things we need to do is pray. God, help us to see things as they really are. That the ultimate final word does not lie with a political solution, whether it's in the Gulf or here in Northern Ireland. It doesn't lie with a political or military solution, but it lies with God himself. And the real issues are not going to be settled on earth by the politicians or by the military. They're going to be settled by those who know how to get in touch with God and bring God into the situation. That's what we're here to do. We're here to bring God into all the situations of life by prayer, to see His will done and to see changes brought about. Thank you very much for the privilege of sharing God's word and God's work with us, and God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed for all that you've shared with us. It's greatly appreciated.